Our scriptural affirmation today comes from 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, starting at the first verse. Why don't you read with me? As I say, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more.
For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus.
For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God.
Let no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified.
For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another.
And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more.
And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you.
That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing.
Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, today we need to know that we know that we know that you are with us. We know that your word says you will never leave us nor forsake us. Help us to believe your word. We know that you are always with us. You are the creator of all things. Help us to believe your word. We know that you are and you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. Help us to believe your word, because this day we've come to seek you. This day we've come together to worship you. This day you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This day we want you and we need you. So this day manifest yourself in this place in a real way, so that you might be glorified, the body of Christ might be edified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Is always here, that he won't leave us, that he won't forsake us. Isn't it good to know that we can trust in the Lord? We don't have to lean to our own understanding. In all our ways, we can acknowledge him because he is worthy of being acknowledged. Isn't it good to know that we need to fear him, but because we fear him, we need fear nothing else. Every weapon formed against us shall not prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the children of the Lord. We can trust him, and he's worthy. We can trust him because he's good. We can trust him because he is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We can trust him. He's God all by himself. He's God for me. He loves me. He cares for me. He cares for you. Today he has called you to this place for this divine appointment, this divine appointment to hear from him about who he is and what he is and what he wants to do in our midst and through you. You've been called. You've been called. And because you've been called, you need to realize that there's purpose for your life. You're not some dangling in front of out there that doesn't mean anything, that doesn't have anywhere to go. It's by grace we say we're saved. That not of ourselves, it's a gift. It's a gift. Do you appreciate the gift? Do you appreciate that it's a free gift, one that you didn't deserve? It's a gift of God, not of works. I could do it on my own, I would be boasting. I'm pretty tough, you know. I could do this thing, but I can do nothing. I can do no thing without him. If there's any good that comes out of my life, if there's any good that comes out of your life, know that it comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights above, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. He's good. And we serve a great and wondrous God, and he wants us to walk worthy of this vocation that we've been called to. He wants us to walk worthy of his calling, walk worthy of that. You're working with purpose, and you've been fitted for this. Do you know that the circumstances of your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the everyday stuff has been chiseling away at you, pushing you, changing you, making you into the person that you've been called to be. He's doing, allowing these things in your life so that you might be shaped just the way he wants you. Oh, what a great and wonderful God he is. But how do we walk worthy? How do we get this thing right? And you know, it starts with the gospel. We're gonna eventually go to the fourth chapter of Thessalonians, but I just wanted to share this with you first. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We want to talk about the good news. Sometimes, you know, we don't necessarily feel like the good news is such good news. Sometimes we don't feel like the good news is something we ought to cheer about, something we ought to celebrate. Sometimes we go, oh, and we just feel worn out. I don't know about you, so maybe this is like just personal. Maybe I'm just looking in the mirror. But sometimes when I look in the mirror, I see weary. I see tired. I see disappointment. I see frustration. I see not enough. And then I'm reminded, something in the back of my head says that, but there's the gospel, the good news, the good news. And I say, Lord, remind me of what's good. And he says, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Okay, this is what's keeping me standing. This is what's holding me. This is where I am. By which also ye are saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm delivered from the mess, the stuff. I'm even saved from the circumstances that I feel like I'm in right now. I'm saved where you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached, okay, I'm keep that in memory, but it's not of me. It's a gift of God. So he helps me to remember. He's the one who's initiating all this. He preach unless you have believed in vain. No, I'm not like one of those who's just here because it's the socially acceptable thing to do. I've given myself over to this. This is my life. This is your life. You're not here just to check off a box. You're here to meet with the living God. Are you here to meet with the living God? Are you here because he is? Are you here to know him because he wants you to know him? I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. I want him. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I received. I can only give you what's first been given to me. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, just like he said he would. He died for my sin. The debt I could not pay has been paid in full. That he was buried, he suffered for me. And that he rose again, he's God. The third day, according to the scriptures, oh, this word of God is so sweet. That he was seen of Cephas and of the 12, and after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once. It's a historical fact. We know it's real, of whom the greater part remained until the present when this was being written. After that, he was seen of James and all the apostles, and last of all, seen of me as one born out of due time. We were born out of due time. We weren't there. I love that song. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they... Oh, put yourself there now. Put yourself there now. Know that it's real. Were you there? For I am the least of the apostles, Paul says, and not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. You have to look in the mirror and say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And a sovereign God has allowed me to be in this place at this time, and so I can be settled in that. Maybe he's changing me. Maybe he's taking me to a place he wants me to be. Maybe he's making me into something new, but I am satisfied with where I am because this is where he's got me. He loves me so very much that he's not taking his hand off me. He keeps me. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. He didn't waste it on me. It's not wasted on me. I needed it, but it's still, I recognize him. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. I thought that was important for us because of what it's going to say here in the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Fourth chapter, 1 Thessalonians. It says, furthermore, then, we beseech you. I'm begging you, brothers, listen to me. Listen today. Listen here. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you. We want to encourage you by our Lord Jesus Christ that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. The things that you have learned, the good news of what's happening because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the good news because you have been called to him, the good news because you had the opportunity to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the good news because of that, I want you to abound more and more in the wondrous things that God has called us to. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. We need to love the Lord God with all of our hearts, all of our mind, and all of our soul. And then we need to love each other as we love ourselves. God is doing some great and wondrous things. For this is the will of God. Have you ever wondered, okay, what's God want? What is it that God wants? What is the will of God? This is the will of God. I'm sure of this one because it says this is the will of God. You know, sometimes we get a little confused. Does he want this? Does he want that? What's he want from me? This is the will of God. Even our sanctification. What's that mean? What does it mean that we are being called to be sanctified? We know that we're justified, and we can kind of use a little cute thing and say, just as if I've never sinned. We could say that justified. That happens on the outside going in, but what's sanctified? Well, that's the change that God is making on the inside that will come out. You're walking holy. You're being made holy. Holy. We are to be holy because he is holy. We are to be imitators of God because he is holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy. We need to walk holy. It is called for us to live lives that we would be people that would be holy, that we would be sanctified. That's his will. And so he begins to give us some things to show us what it means, what it looks like to walk holy in this world. He shows us some things that would help us so that we can strut along with people that are a reflection of the glory of God. As we always quote, we can now let our light so shine among men that they see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. We can walk holy. Well, what's one way of doing that, Paul? Well, how does that work? How do we do that? That you should abstain from fornication. Improper sexual relationships are wrong. And here's a funny thing. If you will not engage in those things, God will reveal more to you. Sometimes you wonder, will God ever reveal the deep things to me? Well, why don't you try deep obedience? Because if you try deep obedience, you'll be amazed at the deep things that he wants to share with you. You'll be amazed at how he wants to speak to your life. But you can't think that you can do just anything that Satan has put in your mind, that you can't follow any old lust that comes along and think that's okay. No, we are to be sanctified. We should abstain from improper sexual relations. That every one of us, we should know how to possess his vessel. Now, we could be talking about our own vessels, our own selves. Could be talking about our mate. But you should know how to relate. You should know how to relate to God. You should know to possess your vessel in sanctification and holiness and honor. Is the way that you're living honoring God? I mean, can you honestly and truly say that the way that you are living this day has honored your Lord? And you know, please don't tell me you don't know if it honored him or not. If that's the case, you need to get into the Word more. See, you need to understand the word of God. You need to know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence. In other words, just letting you're following after every lust that you have, following after every sexual thought that you have, following after every physical desire that you have. You just don't do that. If you do, it'll kill you but ruin your witness. So many of us ruin our witness by the way that we behave. We people, you ever talk to someone and they are surprised you're a Christian? That is the most convicting thing in the world. It's like, I'll go somewhere and we're doing something and say, and they'll go, "You're a preacher?" You know, and I have to reach over and close their mouth. Yeah. Is that how people feel when you say you're a Christian, or do they just think, well, that's what Christianity must be? Must not be very much. Must be full of hypocrisy. We don't have to live that way. You can live with a sense of the dignity afforded a child of the King. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, those lost people, which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother. Falling into the lust of this world, whatever they are, steals from your brother, steals from your family, steals. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. God is not mocked. Some of you have wondered why do things go this way? Sometimes it's because Satan is just after you, trying to make God look bad. Sometimes it's just circumstance. You just happen to be in the midst of the stuff that's going on around life. And sometimes it's your fault. You don't have to. You don't have to let your mind go. How can I say this? You know, in Romans 12, where it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, give yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service. We need to understand that giving yourself a living sacrifice means the training of your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let the word of God renew your mind so that you are thinking in line with the truth. There are so many people that give their lives and all kinds of things for a lie. Our culture is full of lies on all sides, from all angles. We need to pull out of that and believe the truth. Believe the word of God. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You've got to let this word wash you, change you. Verse 7 says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness." He's not called us unto uncleanness, lying, cheating, stealing, things that are not in line with the truth. He's not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Today, will you avail yourself of the fact that the Spirit of the living God lives within you if you are born again? Avail yourself of the fact that He wants to have complete and thorough control of your life. Avail yourself of the fact that He wants to work through you to allow you to see marvelous things which you had no inkling of. God is working in, through, and around you. Will you cooperate with Him or be just an object? I want to work with Him. I want to feel like, you know, a lot of sports figures, posters of their great achievements, you know, And it's really, really something. A lot of these great achievements, you'll see a Michael Jordan or you'll see a Jim Brown. You just see this with these posters of great achievements. And to make the poster more dramatic, they usually have in the poster as well the person that they were achieving over. You know, so you'll see some guy being dunked on, or you'll see some guy being stepped on and knocked down in there with the great guy. So the question is, how do you want this thing to operate? Do you want to be the one that God is working in and you're the picture of the, for lack of a better word, hero? Or do you want to be the one that's just being stepped on? You know, that's how we're going to go through life. So you can do better than just be a bad example. You can live a life of victory. Victory is mine. I don't fight. I don't work for victory. I live from victory. I fight from victory. You are more than conquerors if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you have a choice to act like it. Sin does not have to be your master. I didn't say any of this was easy. But there is a reality that the power of the living God is working inside of you. How strong is the power of the living God? There he was. He had been crucified. Dead inside of a borrowed tomb. And the Spirit of the living God moved upon him and he got up. You may feel like you're at your end. You're wrapped up in a mess that you can't seem to get out of. You are hurting and have been hurt, and the circumstances have put you in a dark, dark, dark place. But the light is inside of you and ready to explode so that you might live the resurrection that was won for you on the cross. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. We need to be about loving each other. We need love. We need to be cared for. We need to feel cared for. I tell you, you want to feel love? Love somebody. See, because that'll inspire them to love. And somebody will see you loving on them, and they'll love on you, and then it'll just be, you know, a wonderful thing. Obedience brings good stuff. If you are a person known to love, people will love you. They'll cry at your funeral and all kinds of stuff. You know, oh, they were loving you so good. Oh, it's just... But they'll also know that that's the way that they should live. We are to be disciples that make disciples that make disciples. And we are to show them that we serve a God who is love. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. We can do better. Some of you really, quite frankly, do wonderfully well. And I think it's so very, very cool. And I'm so pleased by that. But you can do more. You can do better. You're not doing it to gain your salvation. You're doing it because you have salvation. You're doing it because you've been changed. You're doing it because he's good. You're doing it because you love him. And this is the funny thing they threw in here. Study to be quiet. Will you work to shut up a little bit? Be swift to hear. Be swift to listen. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. Because the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Your anger ain't getting you nowhere. Study to be quiet and to do your own business. Some busybodies annoy me. Like, really, will you? I know there's a problem there. Will you mind your business? Not that the problem doesn't have to be dealt with, but that's not the focus of your life. The focus of your life ought to be love. Study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands. One of the great complaints that I hear today is people won't work. People don't do this, they don't do that. They're not like some other generation that did this and that, and they're just not taking advantage. I hear that. I get that. And there's some real truth to that. So we could stand back and say, that's how they're acting. Or we could enter into their lives and say, this is how we act. I want you to be a we with me. And as you're a we with me, that means that we will do what he says. And he wants us to work while it is still light. He wants us to change the world. And so you need to develop some habits that will allow you to be effective to do that. And the way you're living doesn't work. But you've got to be close enough to them, to love them enough, to say that face to face and not have them knock your head off. You got to be close. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come into the world to complain about sinners. Betty and I often, I think, suffer from compassion fatigue. Like, you really didn't do that again, did you? That was so... Well, let me see. Maybe we can try this. Because I remember, I can do that because I remember how often I have failed and how much I have needed my brothers and sisters to hold me up and to remind me of who I am. Do you remember who you are? Do you remember that He has called you? Do you remember that you, like every other person, has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Do you remember that in spite of how all these people act around you, at your worst, you were a lot worse? Do you remember that you've had some challenges and that maybe some people around you still think you've got some challenges? Do you remember? See, because as you remember what these folks have seen in you and what you went through, then you can be like Christ and have compassion on those that are hurting themselves. Make no mistake. When someone's hurting you, they are hurting themselves because you are a child of the King. Certainly there's more to say, but we're going to end. That you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you lack nothing. God has kept us. In spite of all of the mess we've been through, in spite of all of the hurt and the pain, the screw-ups that we've done and the screw-ups that others have done and the circumstances we find ourselves in, God has loved us. And as individual as we think, it is an us thing. We're called together. You have to believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and you are in there. But you're not in there just to hang out. You're not in there so you can go, whew. You're in there because you have been called for His purpose. Go over it one more time. By grace you are saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created unto good works. We've been created to do some stuff. And you need to be about the business of finding out what He's created you for. You are a cell in the body. And cells in the body have very specific things that they are to do. You know, stomach acid doesn't work in the heart. You've got to understand that there are things that the brain does that wouldn't work in the feet. We have got to find out what God is calling us specifically to. We've got to admit that the Word of God is true, and He has gifted each and every one of us. He has gifted us. He's called us, and we need to surrender that to Him. Lord, you might want to pray this with me. Lord, all that I am, all that I am not, I surrender to you. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. That makes me, by your decree, that makes me a part of a body. Thank you for making me a part of this family. Thank you, Lord, for calling me to yourself. Thank you, Lord, for initiating my salvation so that I could be a part of an our thing. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. We celebrate that goodness. We celebrate those truths by reminding ourselves of some things. We call it the Lord's Supper. Some people call it communion. It's where we share the juice and the bread, remembering our God. Remembering. Bread speaks of his body, that real, physical, definite, historical body that walked on this earth. He came, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. As amazing and crazy as that all is, we believe that the word of God is true, and it is true that he came. And he did it without sin. And that's what the wafer, the bread, reminds us of. And then the blood reminds us that he gave up that life that he lived so well. His blood was poured out. He died suffering the pangs of our punishment. He died the horror that he felt. And there he was, dead, 3 days in a tomb. But then, 3 days later, he rose again. Thank you, Jesus. As we consider that and the guys sing, I'm going to pass this out, and then we will partake of it together.